for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A
of the Wednesday evening service of July the 4th, 1990. Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is tape two of two tapes of the evening service.
Sisters, who would you suggest? Well, whoever was talking to him was very astute. And he said, oh, I'd like for you to talk to Dr. D. James Kennedy from Coral Ridges Presbyterian Church. Dr. Kennedy has about six doctor's degrees. And when he speaks, I tape record him all the time. He's excellent. And if you ever see D. James Kennedy on TV or radio, listen. And he said, no, I don't want to interview somebody like that. Don't you have some snake handlers around here? To them, that's the Christian they want to present. Okay, so that's in Washington, I had the duty, about once a month, to for the morning briefing of the news media of what was going on. And the way you brief them, if you have the duty for that, you look at all the dispatches, actions, and all of that sort of stuff, and you put it together, a narrative that you think is highlighting what's going on and all of that. And then it's typed out, and then it's sent around to all interested parties, and they correct to make sure it's all accurate and all that sort of thing. Then it's retyped, and you make 500 copies, and you get up and give it to these idiots, and then you get up and read it verbatim, and they never get it right. They never intended to. I knew that. Never intended to. There were three generals, maybe four, that finally joined the group over in the Pentagon, but they had a mutual agreement among each other. They would only grant an interview with any news representative if that news representative would write out a check for $5,000 made out to the general, and they tape recorded the interview, and then when they printed the article, agreed with what was on the tape, they got their check back. No one ever interviewed them because they don't intend to tell the truth. One of them was interviewed by U.S. News and World Report, which is very good, because U.S. News and World Report says this was the question and this was his answer. They quote him directly. So they don't. They want to create the illusion. They're a part of the conspiracy. Yes, the lady back there. Yeah, I know all that. And then we don't have the time, but I've already shown you the other night, if you were here, there is a public law that requires the Bible to be taught in our schools, but you try it. And I can give you a copy of the law. Yeah, if you want to know how to pray for your country and your countrymen, read Daniel 9. It's all there. They're doing the same things we were doing. We're still model one of the human race. We haven't changed. We're still doing all the same sins and all the others. But we have to confess, if my people call by my name, it doesn't have to be a corporate prayer. Each of us individually getting right with God. That's the whole point. Let there be a revival, but start here. As Glenn says, we got to reclaim the land, but start with this land. This is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Well, we're well aware of that, and I hope I've opened the eyes to the news media. As Calvin Coolidge said years and years ago, said anybody who reads the newspaper and thinks he knows what's really going on is to be pitied. And that's absolutely true. Well, it's as rotten as you think it is. And it's all a part of the conspiracy. What can you do about it? Take your kids out of school or start a Christian school. That's what you can do about it. One of the states, Pat Robertson again, says that Christian schools are starting at the rate of about three a day. One of the states just the other day is great. I wish it was a national policy. They passed a law, and it's probably going to be overturned, but they passed a law that any county in that state, you could determine how much it costs for a student to go to school in the public system. Then if you didn't want your kid to go to school in that system, they'll give you a certificate for that amount to take it wherever you want to within that state or that county. And I've been for that for a long time because it does two things. If everybody starts pulling their money out of the public school system, they'll have to shape up or phase out. And it's just that way. Another thing we can do is get right with God and then start getting on school boards.
Amen.
There's a big move to get this school back to the counties. And you may get, I promise you, you'll have some problems. Man, in Washington, D.C., that was a long time ago when my kids were young, out in Montgomery County, the richest, it's the second richest county in all of the United States, second to some county out in California. And I just lucked out living out there. Worked out rather well, though, when I sold the house. But I was aware of this, so I let it be known that I would serve on the school board. Well, as a stepping stone, the superintendent of the school where my kids went, she came to me and said, well, I'd like to have you be president of the PTA. I said, fine. Boy, it created a big problem there. I never was, but I did get some schools built, and I did get them to quit hiring the people we've been talking about, homosexuals and other perverts. And but Admiral Brody of the Navy, a Navy Cross winner, he got together with me, and he ran for the county school board, and he got on the school board. And here's what we did with him. He and some other Christians got on the school board. We got two courses into all the Montgomery County high schools based on the Bible. One of them, the Bible to be studied as literature, and the other as history. But you were not allowed, and they were optional. They weren't required. They were optional. But you were not allowed to promote any religious views. But you were allowed, and we wrote it in there, you were allowed to answer questions. So we always had a proper student in each class to ask the right questions. In Fairfax County, Virginia, a lady was asked in the seventh grade, what do they mean in this news he's been born again? And she explained, and she was fired. She could explain what homosexuality is. Oh, that's an alternate style of life, you know. All that stuff. You go to hell, and you get there quicker with age. It's like somebody said, can you eat pork and go to heaven? Sure, eat pork, you get there quicker. But but Pat Robertson came to her aid and got her reinstated and all of her back pay. Of course, she had to quit because she was harassed. Well, that if you the there's an excellent book entitled The NEA, The Trojan Horse. That's National Educational Association, which spends, it's the biggest lobby in Washington, spends over $300 million a year. And that's the reason your kids can't read and write. You got a bunch of atheists and communists selecting your textbooks. Somebody back there had their hand up. The question was, could we use our arms in case the communists came into our country? You bet you could. What was that movie, The Red Dawn? I think it was The Red Dawn, where the United States was invaded, and a group of young people who had weapons took to the hills and started a guerrilla warfare on their own. And the communist troops didn't know how to handle it, because they had always been the guerrillas. Guerrilla warfare is very effective, and a determined group can do it, can prevent it. Somebody said, well, are we going to be destroyed to thermonuclear war? I don't think so. They said so. We'll surrender. In fact, somebody said if they destroyed us with a thermonuclear war, they'd starve to death because this is where they get their food. They're not that stupid. That's where they get the money. So we'll surrender. In fact, you could prove a pretty good case that we've already surrendered. What does a surrendered or conquered country do? They don't take the government out. You can read that in the Bible. When Nebuchadnezzar conquered Jerusalem and Israel, he appointed leaders over the people that were still there. You need law and order back here so you can keep producing materials that they need and all that sort of thing. But they always paid tribute to the country that conquered them. What are we doing with the Russians? Paying them tribute, giving them our technology. And the conquered country always got stronger, rebuilt, so they can keep you under their control while you disarmed. That's going on right now. They're getting stronger by the day. They've spent more money in the last 3 years than any three-year period since the end of World War II. That's the reason their economy is broke. We have to carry them. We're going to put them on the welfare rolls and count them until about 1995. They plan to button this whole thing up about 1995. There are some other scenarios that we worry a lot about in the Pentagon, like electromagnetic pulsing, which doesn't kill folks but paralyzes a nation and all that, and no fallout. You got enough to worry about without getting into what the Pentagon worries about. somebody else, the brother there had a question. Anybody else? Oh, yes, the sister here early. Agent Orange? Agent Orange, is that what? Oh, yeah, I misunderstood. Yeah, it's a bacterial infection, a chemical. The lady was asking, well, where did they start using this? It's a bacteriological warfare thing that the communists used. And Laos was the first place, but they also used it in Afghanistan, and they've used poison gas in Afghanistan. And they also used a weapon that we've known about for some time. It's the first time we've ever seen it actually used, and it didn't read in the newspaper. It's an electromagnetic type thing where the people in this whole village were killed, and it kills every cell in the body, every cell in the body. And the bodies were still laying there after 2 weeks and weren't even deteriorating because every cell in the body is killed. It's a real neat way to kill a lot of folks. And they don't swell up and create a problem. And, we don't do anything like that. We just keep rewarding them while we're killing South Africa and El Salvador.
Colonel, what is your opinion here on the, there is a rumor, as you are aware of, I'm sure, that AIDS is a man-made virus?
Yeah, we covered that the second night here, yes. The AIDS is a man-made virus. It was made by the communists in the World Health Organization up in Maryland, Fort Belvoir, I believe. But because about 80% of the personnel in the World Health Organization, as they are in most of the organizations, are communists. Very few are Americans. And I won't go through how this was all discovered, but just very briefly, there was a man hired to determine what impact AIDS would have on the insurance business, you know, an actuary figure. And he had been told that the AIDS had been around forever. Well, he had already figured out from the figures he had that AIDS will double every 8 to 12 years. Saw a clipping the other day in Africa, it's doubling every 4 years now. So he figured out if it doubled, and he used the number 10 so it would be easy to calculate. And if that was true, there wouldn't be anybody alive. We'd all be dead if it had been around for a long time. They also told him it came from the rhesus monkey, but being a medical doctor, he knew that the rhesus monkey and Americans don't have any common diseases, so he knew that was a lie. So with the figure of its proliferation, he could figure back that it had to have occurred somewhere around 1968 to 1969 in that 2 or 3 year time frame. Then he began to look around to see what unusual thing had happened. Now, he knew where the AIDS were, and he plotted those on a map, and most of them are in the central portion of Africa, where it's estimated now that half the population are infected there. And they said within 10 years, the central portion of Africa will be almost totally depopulated. There won't be anybody there. That's a program of the conspirators to kill all the non-productive eaters, they said. They have to kill 1 billion between 1980 and the year 2000, and they're well on their way. That's a plan. Wars and the AIDS-type thing. So he discovered that everywhere the AIDS was in strong contention was exactly the place where the WHO, called WHO, there is a book entitled Who Killed Africa? WHO Killed Africa. And it documents all of this. And he found that they had instituted a program to wipe out smallpox completely. Everywhere they inoculated people with smallpox, AIDS was there. He looked at India, no smallpox vaccinations, no AIDS. Of course, they have some now that's been imported from the other places. And then, of course, the homosexuals are very prone to it, but I think they'd probably be considered non-productive eaters. You can take that two ways. But the guys that shoot dope and use dirty needles, they're non-productive eaters. They ought to go through. So that's the way it all came about. So if you wanted more information, at the book, Who Killed Africa? Did I try? Okay. I'm sorry. Yes. I can... Sorry, it's back in the briefcase, but if you'll give me your name and address, I'll send you a copy of it. It was the 19—I forget what year it was—but it was the year of the Bible, and in the last verse, let it be resolved that this nation now faces emergencies so forth the greatest of its all history, which is true, and it points out that this is a Christian nation. All that, therefore, let it be resolved that study of the Bible and understanding the Bible is essential for our survival. But, and it's a public law. It has a public law number right on it. And but you can't do it. I thought, now this is what the Supreme Court said. There was a school somewhere in the Midwest that had a big stone in the front like they think the Ten Commandments look like, except they were in English. And it had been there for years in this high school. You walk into the entry and there were the Ten Commandments. Well, the ACLU, the Anti-Christian Liberties Union, said they had to take it down. And went to court and had it taken down. But the people there weren't to be outdone. They had all their kids wear T-shirts with the Ten Commandments on. And but I thought it was interesting when the Supreme Court ruled they had to take it down. One of the decisions was they had to take it down because the children coming in and reading the Ten Commandments every day might get the impression they might try, have to live that way. Well, the idiot, that's the whole idea. Well, that's right. As I said the other night in one of the presentations, you're right, but you can't blame the military because we were just the tools of McNamara, who is a traitor. And the whole organization, you have to get them out. Pat Robertson said in his campaign, and he wrote it ad nauseum in his bulletins, it is absolutely essential that we take control of the United States government away from the Council on Foreign Relations and the Trilateral Commission. Nobody else even said there was any, because most of them are members of it. Jesse Jackson is a communist, a hardcore communist. And it's very interesting. The Communist Party, Gus Hall wrote in his papers and issued an edict that in the 1988 elections that the Communist Party would no longer run a candidate for the president, of which he had always been, and Angela Davis, president and vice president on the court. Because they were now going to work through the Democrat Party and would support Jesse Jackson, because they had no differences with the Democrat Party. So you Democrats ought to wake up. And an individual said that if you look at the national platform of the Democrat Party, you can't be a Christian and be a Democrat on the national level, because they're for everything God is against, and they're against everything is for. And with an unwritten law, they have at least one-third of their delegation and platform people have to be homosexual. So, I forget who it was that said liberalism is not a political philosophy, it's a mental illness. And it is. Oh, one more and then we'll quit. Yeah.
What is the root of all this? Is the root Satan trying to destroy Christianity? Or is the root a small group of men who want to control all the wealth of the world? Or what do you see as the roots of all this movement?
The answer was, the question was, what do I see as the basis of this? Is it Satan destroying, to destroy this nation, the family, and all of that? Or is it a small group of men who want more power? Well, of course, we know in the Bible that the root of all money is the root, the love of money is the root of all evil. Not money, it's the love of money. But they see it as a means of power. One asked Mr. Carnegie one time, how much money is enough? And he thought for a minute and he thought, well, it always seems to be just a little bit more. You never quite get enough. And the answer to your question is yes, both of them. Because as we pointed out the other day and all of the thing, that it's been well documented that most of the people, if not all of them in the upper echelons of this whole organization, are Satan worshipers. Every one of them. And so that was Ralph Epperson in his book entitled The Unseen Hand. And he said the secret within the secret that all their leaders are Satan worshipers. The Rothschilds and their Golden Dawn Coven, and the branch of that in the United States is the Bohemia Club in San Francisco, or the Bohemia Glove. Some of the people there is their former Secretary of State, George Shultz, Weinberger, Kissinger, Zbigniew Brzezinski, and, well, I'll stop because I can substantiate those. But and, of course, as I said, George Bush is a third-generation member of the Skull and Bones. It's a super occult. So the whole root of the whole thing, brother, is the spirit of Antichrist, and that's about it. So everything that Antichrist would be for, that's what they're for. Everything that Christ would be for, they're against it. I'll close with one statement from my friend Jesse Jackson. Jesse Jackson. Jesse Helms. And I call him a friend because I've eaten with him a couple of times and worked with him on a few little, feeding him some information. Sent me a beautiful picture of he and his wife and signed it and so forth. It's really a blessing to know people like that. And he'd write across the top of it, said, "Speed, you're the greatest. Signed, your friend, Jesse Helms." But he said to a group when we were getting organized to try to get Pat Robertson into the White House, he said, "There are about 25 senators who will always vote against the Christian or the Hebrew Christian faith. Don't ever call it the Judeo-Christian. It's not Jewish, it's Hebrew. The Hebraic Christian, the Hebrew tradition. Most of the people that call themselves Jews aren't Jews anyway, they're Khazars. But anyway, he said, they vote against the Hebrew Christian faith and what we stand for. Then there's another 25 who may or may not be Christian, but they're honest and honorable men. And they will always vote the Christian ethic. But he says that leaves the other 50 in the middle. And they'll just vote whichever way the pressure pushes them. And he says you might as well forget Ted Kennedy and Metzenbaum and Cranston. And at that time, Weicker, but thank God we got him out of there. And some of the others. And concentrate on the 50 in the middle and push them. As Pat Robertson said, he was walking out of a meeting one day with Ronald Reagan, and Pat, that was in the administration, Pat just ended up by President Reagan, and he said, I turned to him and I said, President, I think we can put the pressure on the Congress to do these things. And he turned and he says, they don't need pressure, they need the heat. You got to put the heat on them. That's it. You got to make them feel the heat. And if they won't shape up, get them out. And again, I want to emphasize the most disgusting thing in the world is to see the evangelical Christians elect George Bush and vote Pat Robertson not electable. It is disgusting. I was working for Pat down in for Super Tuesday. We knew we would take that big block because all the Christians down there in the so-called Bible Belt, no way. And after it was clear he wasn't going to, there was a pastor, yeah, a Baptist pastor, and he was telling somebody, well, I didn't vote for Pat Robertson. I said, why not? I was standing by him, and I was mad, and I said, well, why not? This is a pastor. He said, I don't believe in miracles the way he does. And I almost said a dirty word. I started to say, well, do you pray? And he said, well, of course we pray. And I started to say, well, what the hell are you praying for if you don't believe in miracles? But I didn't. I just asked him, well, your prayers are not being heard and they're not being answered, and I think you ought to shape up. That's what I told him, and walked off before I hit him. Okay. Praise the Lord. It has really been a blessing being with you, and God be with you and keep you. And I'll close with my favorite scripture, which is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 23 and 24. May the God of peace sanctify you completely, and may your spirit and your soul and your body be kept blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, for he is faithful to do it. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.